Russian bombs fall on Tbilisi International Airport. Piston sales are down, but not at Piper. And Embraer is doing great, so why all the furloughs? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 11th, 2008. Make a note for future reference. If you become party to a military dispute, even civilian airports become military targets. Several international media outlets are now reporting that as Russian aircraft bombed military airports in the former Soviet territory of Georgia on Sunday, bombs also fell in two separate attacks near Tbilisi International, a major commercial airport. The two nations have been through 3 days of military confrontations over the province of South Ossetia, an autonomous territory within Georgia, where many citizens are pursuing Russian citizenship. Shota Yudiashvili, a spokesman for the Georgian Interior Ministry, told Reuters it appeared the single bomb which fell near the civilian airport's runway about 7 a.m. local time Sunday was probably intended for either a nearby military airport or an aircraft construction plant. An attack later in the day was reported to have struck an uninhabited area near the airport. The first bombing at Tbilisi International took place shortly before the scheduled arrival there of French Foreign Minister Bernard Kouchner, who's attempting to mediate an end to the conflict. After an expected Sunday meeting with Georgia's president, Mikhail Saakashvili, Kouchner was scheduled to fly onto Moscow today. Georgia appears to be trying to move the dispute from military confrontation to a diplomatic venue, after fighting, which has left much of Tiskinvali, the capital of South Ossetia, in ruins. Georgian officials claim to have withdrawn all their forces from that province. In a counterpoint to discouraging piston aircraft sales and delivery figures released last week by the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, Piper Aircraft has announced that it's bucking the trend, with piston aircraft deliveries up 18%. Overall aircraft deliveries are reported by Piper to be up 13% over last year, and Piper CEO James Bass says the PA-46 luxury models are registering record deliveries. Quote, in the last 3 years, Piper has moved forward on virtually every front, from new product introductions to strong sales, from strategic alliances to breaking into an entirely new segment with our all-new Piper Jet. We are a modern-day American success story, a company that relies on American workers to provide the next-generation aircraft for the world, unquote. Piper says the piston upswing is led by the unparalleled success of its all-new Piper Matrix, a cabin-class, six-seat aircraft based on the Malibu Mirage, but featuring the economy of an unpressurized aircraft. Piper says it delivered 98 piston aircraft in the first half of 2008. That's up from 83 pistons last year. 48 were deliveries of the Piper Matrix. Bass says Piper has 101 orders for Matrix models this year, and demand for the Meridian continues strong. The good numbers highlight the resurgence of Piper as a company, especially in its comeback from the devastating 2004 hurricane season. Bass notes, quote, it's a tribute to our workforce and the commitment of the men and women of Piper that we not only rebounded rapidly, but have evolved into an even stronger company. We truly are the inheritors of a great legacy, and we're inspired by the knowledge that our best days are ahead of us, unquote. Brazilian plane maker Embraer has had lots of good news lately, but on Friday the company confirmed 250 management and administrative jobs have been cut as part of a larger restructuring effort. The surprise announcement comes a week after Embraer announced it more than doubled its profit in the second quarter of 2008. Local union and media sources theorize the move comes to increase profits. Embraer will say only that it, quote, continues to move firmly ahead in its growth process and in improving its results, and confirms the aircraft delivery forecasts and economic financial projections previously announced, unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board says it's a little closer to determining the sequence of events that led to the fatal crash of a firefighting helicopter in California last week. Nine remain missing and presumed dead near the northern edge of the 27-square-mile Buckhorn Fire in the Shasta Trinity National Forest near Weaverville. Four people were injured in that crash, which, contrary to earlier reports, happened as the helicopter was taking off, not landing. KABC TV7 reports the cockpit voice recorder from the Sikorsky S-61 has been recovered. The NTSB says survivors reported a slower-than-normal takeoff, followed by the nose and rotor blades striking trees. The board's preliminary report should be available sometime this week. Coming up next, high and fast on approach will get you in a VLJ. A mediator says Alaska Airlines violated a union contract in 2005. And a Florida city council asks its entire airport advisory board to resign. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 11th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The NTSB's preliminary report on the July 30th crash of an Eclipse 500 jet on landing at Wings Field Airport in Philadelphia points to a decision many of us who fly piston aircraft routinely get away with. Specifically, the pilot reports he was a little high and a little fast over the numbers. It turns out 3,347 feet was not enough. The plane slid off the runway in the first Eclipse 500 airframe loss in a customer accident. The pilot and his young daughter walked away, but the plane was totaled. You can read the unedited NTSB report in the text version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. A federal arbitrator has ruled Alaska Airlines violated its collective bargaining agreement with International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers Air Transport District 143 when the carrier laid off 472 Seattle baggage handlers and other ramp workers in May of 2005. The ruling comes more than 3 years after Alaska Airlines subcontracted its entire Seattle ground handling operation to Menzies Aviation. IAM says union-represented ramp employees who showed up for work on May 13, 2005, had their security badges deactivated by Alaska and were told they no longer had jobs. The outsourcing hasn't worked out too well. Lost and mishandled bags, flight delays, safety problems, and customer complaints are up. The airline got unwelcome headlines when an MD-80 on climb out from SeaTac on December 26, 2005, lost cabin pressure due to a 4-inch gash in the plane's fuselage caused by a careless baggage loader who failed to report the accident. The federal arbitrator who decided the case considered the party's contract language, which permitted Alaska Airlines to subcontract the groundwork only if it was cheaper than keeping the work in-house. He's directed Alaska and District 143 to work together on a remedy, but will intervene again if the two sides are unable to reach an understanding. In what the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association calls a stunning slap to the aviation community, the Venice, Florida City Council voted 5-2 last month to ask all the members of its airport advisory board to resign. The editors of the Sarasota Herald Tribune agreed in a recent editorial, quote, "The airport board ventured beyond mere disagreement by waging what Paul Hollowell, its chairman, described in an email as a strategy of containment or holding actions aimed at blocking the council from obtaining an amended master plan for Venice Municipal Airport," unquote. AOPA has joined with the FAA in urging the city to make the airport a top priority. Previously, the council proposed shortening the runway or restricting the size of aircraft operating there. AOPA hopes the council will take action to improve the airport by submitting its updated airport master plan to the FAA before the end of August. Heidi Williams, AOPA Senior Director of Airports, wrote a letter to Venice Mayor Ed Martin, which said in part, quote, "Advisory bodies like this should not be filled with yes-men, but rather with individuals who can offer the city their expertise and good judgment," unquote. Both Boeing and Airbus are having trouble ramping up production of their most popular and profitable airliners due to shortages of the most mundane parts. The Wall Street Journal reports the shortages include passenger seats, galleys, and even toilet seats. Smaller suppliers reportedly failed to ramp up production in time to meet demand. Both manufacturers are building off record order backlogs, but some companies haven't been able to keep up. These aren't just projected shortages, they're already happening. Boeing was unable to deliver 777s to Emirates in the second quarter due to unfinished interiors missing their galleys. Emirates says the delay stalled its expansion to the west coast of the U.S. Beyond the lost revenue, Emirates CEO Tim Clark adds travel agents and passengers, quote, no longer believe the dates we give them, unquote. Both plane makers now have teams dedicated to working with suppliers to get caught up. Still ahead, the FAA says Mooney buyers can now have synthetic vision. U.S. airline flyers are still against cell phone use on airliners. And American Airlines has found yet another way to punish customers. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 11th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has approved letting Mooney Acclaims and Ovations join the parade of models approved for Garmin's synthetic vision upgrade to the popular G1000 glass panel. Mooney CEO Dennis Ferguson commented, quote, synthetic vision, GPS WAS, and safe taxi are among the most important advancements in avionics technology to come along in decades. They contribute significantly to overall flight safety and efficiency and can raise the level of a pilot's proficiency by virtue of the added capabilities they put at his or her fingertips, unquote. Mooney will begin installing the SVT-equipped G1000 avionics packages in new production aircraft shortly. Pricing was not announced, but other manufacturers have priced SVT at about $10,000. The company's also working on a package and pricing structure for retrofits. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics has found Americans are still divided on the issue of whether the use of mobile phones should be allowed on airliners. Predictably, there's a generational divide on the question as well. BTS says people 65 and older are more likely to oppose their use than those between 18 and 34. Overall, 39.7% of respondents in a survey conducted last November said passengers should definitely or probably be allowed to use cell phones if there are no interference issues with aircraft communication systems. 45.2% said they definitely or probably should not be used. The remaining 15% said, ask me later, can't you see I'm on the phone? All right, I made that part up. Actually, that 15% said they weren't sure. The report is entitled Opinions on Cell Phone Use on Airplanes, Congestion, and Telecommuting from the 2006 and 2007 Omnibus Household Survey. You can access the whole thing using a link provided at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Well, another week, another new fee at American Airlines. Effective October 1st, that so-called free trip earned using your AAdvantage frequent flyer miles will cost you $50. The Associated Press also reports an upgrade from economy to a first class on a domestic flight will now cost $50 plus the 15,000 miles already needed. International flights will cost more. The airline has also implemented a new three-tier program that will require many flyers to spend more miles than ever to get that free trip in the first place. American's move comes 1 week ahead of a similar change announced by Delta. The latest change comes as a sad observation of the 25th anniversary of frequent flyer programs, something started by American Airlines. Well, okay, I guess, as long as they don't do anything to detract from the unmatched customer experience. And finally, JetBlue is asking its frequent flyers to be guinea pigs ahead of the rollout of its new terminal at JFK. 1,000 frequent flyers will be asked to show up at JFK August 23rd and go through the typical check-in process. They'll be given bags by the airline to check, and then it's on through security to see if they make it to their assigned gates on time for their make-believe trips. JetBlue has promised unspecified prizes and giveaways, free lunch, and free parking. Reuters jokes that the opportunity will present, quote, all the hassle of air travel without going anywhere, unquote. Laugh all you want, but you just know that execs at British Airways wish they'd done something like this before they opened their new Terminal 5 at London Heathrow back in April. Thousands of bags were mishandled and lost, hundreds of flights canceled, and tens of thousands of passengers angered when automatic baggage systems failed. Of course, I have to point out JetBlue could have saved the money at spending on 999 of those 1,000 guinea pigs. Why not just see if Naomi Campbell can make it through the terminal by herself without spitting on anyone? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, who gives high praise to AOPA's Air Safety Foundation for its training programs, but questions whether its safety reporting is biased. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.